Well, hello there, and welcome to my almost midlife crisis, the show that dives into that tricky time in our lives when we're no longer young, but we aren't old yet either. I'm your host, Jennifer Villamil. I cannot believe I'm even saying this, but as of 2 days ago on July 30th, I am officially over the hill. Yeah, I'm 40 years old. How the hell did that happen? I have no idea. Do you know what? 40 gets a really bad rap. Like, I remember thinking that 40 was so old. And now I'm like, I don't feel old at all. I actually feel great. I still feel like I have a lot of time and so many things that I can accomplish in my life. So, you know what? Today, we're not focusing on the fact that 40 is over the hill. We're focusing on the positive side of things. And in fact, you know, every birthday, I like to do a little practice that has some self-reflection, like what did I learn? And what do I want for the years to come? So join me as I celebrate 40 great years. And I look forward to another fabulous 40 to come. Let's dive in. You know, the older I get, the more people seem to care less about celebrating birthdays. And maybe it's because they don't like the number that they're celebrating. Maybe it's because they don't want the pressure of planning something. I am not one of those people. I've always made celebrating my birthday something special. It's the day we were born, for God's sakes. It's another year of learning and growing. It's another year of relationships. It's another year of dreams and another year worth of memories. That all sounds like it's worth celebrating, doesn't it? I mean, I think so. I don't care if I'm celebrating my 29th, my 40th, or my 68th birthday. I will be celebrating in a big way. And sometimes I think this is partially because growing up, I was so jealous of when kids would get their lockers decorated or they would bring, you know, birthday cupcakes to class. Like, I always wanted to do that. But because I had a summer birthday, mine was usually like just lumped in with all the other summer birthdays. Like, the teacher would call you up and be like, let's just celebrate all the summer birthdays. And there'd be like 10 of us standing up there in class. And that also made throwing birthday parties difficult when we were kids. Because, you know what? A lot of friends would go on their summer family trips in July, right? Because it was right before the school year started. So it was tough to even like get everyone together to celebrate. So now as an adult, every year I tend to go big for my birthday. Like, I always tend to make it a big deal. Maybe I'm overcompensating. Some of my favorite birthday celebrations. Well, I will say one of my all-time favorites is probably my 25th birthday. It was quite the year to remember because so I was living in Tampa at the time, and they were, you know, if you've never been to Tampa, there's kind of like a thing with pirates down there. Like, there's even this whole parade that is pirate themed called Gasparilla every year, where it's like they have a whole parade and it's just like all about pirates. And I'm sure there's some sort of like historical reference maybe, but honestly, who cares? It's pirates, right? It's not that serious. So for my 25th birthday, I rented a pirate ship float. Like, one that normally is in the Gasparilla parade, but you can rent it out throughout the year. Because I think the parade is actually like in February or something, if I remember correctly. So imagine a pirate ship driven by a man dressed as a pirate, driving around Tampa and St. Petersburg, Florida, with all of us on it. We were all dressed up in pirate-themed attire, like fake tattoos and all. And we had coolers of alcohol, and I had like a custom playlist blasting, of course, because like, if you know me, I always have a custom playlist. I also have a playlist for my bridal shower and my baby shower and pretty much everything I create a playlist for. It's kind of my thing. But I will never forget, because I was living in this house in St. Pete. And, you know, everyone gathered there first, and the pirate ship was picking us up from there. And I will never forget the sight of seeing this pirate ship drive down my street and hearing the song Yo-Ho, Yo-Ho, The Pirate's Life for Me. And because, you know, I'd seen pictures of it online, but seeing it in real life pull up to my house was so amazing. It will just always be stuck in my head. And it just was one of the most fun birthdays I ever had, probably because it just seemed so surreal and it was like so memorable. Of course, until the end of the night when, I don't know, my memory of the night was getting a little bit more blurry, if you know what I mean. But oh my gosh, it's like every time we stopped, like we pretty much just drove around and drank on the pirate ship and like had fun. We stopped like once to get more alcohol. So we were like at a liquor store in this pirate ship, which was in itself hilarious. And then we stopped by this one bar because my friend was having a party at that bar. And my brother, who was single at the time, was talking, you know, he's in full pirate gear, was talking to some girl at the bar, and he was telling her on how we showed up in a pirate ship, and she didn't believe him. So he brought her out front to see the pirate ship, and it wasn't there. Because little did he know, like, they weren't allowed to just stop and sit there, right? Because of like traffic and stuff. So they had to kind of keep circling until we were ready to exit. So yeah, it's just, I mean, the whole thing, there were just so many memories, and the pictures from that night were hilarious. And it was probably one of like my favorite ones. It could have also been another one of my favorites was, and it's like, it's so funny. It's something that it's not a pirate ship, but there was this birthday where Christian surprised me with a dinner at one of my favorite, I call it like fancy Mexican restaurants. It's like one of those where you're definitely overpaying for like tacos and guacamole, but they have like fancy ingredients on them and like amazing cocktails. This one was called Mercadito, and I was obsessed with their margarita and their food really for a long time. We went there a lot, but so he planned this dinner and there was like 14 of us and I had no idea. And we kind of showed up and they were all there. And you know what? I'm a total sucker for surprises for sure. As long as they're good ones. I don't like bad surprises. I don't respond well to those. but I just love that he put the thought together and put, you know, this whole party together for me. Like that was pretty amazing. It could have also been my 30th birthday because I had a group of my friends that all flew down to my mom's house and spent the weekend together in Naples. We went shopping and we grilled out and we went on this like airboat, I think it's called airboat ride, that's kind of like goes through the Everglades, you know, and like held this baby alligator. It was adorable. And all the fun stuff you do in Florida, you know. But you know, it doesn't even matter what we do sometimes, like spending time with those I care about and just having fun is really the key ingredient to a really good birthday. Like that's really all you need, right? So I'm sure you're wondering, so what did you do this year for your birthday? It's the big 4-0. Like you must have done something massive. Well, actually, for the first time in my life, I didn't do much. I know it, that sounds really disappointing. But I swear to, I don't even know what. I honestly am totally okay with that plan this year. And even Christian I don't think he like fully believed me because he kept asking me, he's like, are you sure you don't want to do anything? Because that's just so not like me. And we've been together for almost 11 years. So like he gets that like my birthday is like a big deal. And I kind of make like everyone's birthday a big deal. So he's like, you swear? And I think he was just like, please tell me I'm not going to get in trouble if I don't plan something. And I'll tell you what I told him. Like, I promise I am okay with it. I mean, I guess I can't say I didn't do anything for my birthday. Like the weekend prior to my birthday, I went with a couple girlfriends to get a massage at the Waldorf Astoria here in Chicago. And then we had like this fabulous brunch at Blue Door Kitchen, which is amazing. And randomly met up with Christian and his friend Matt for a couple of drinks after. I mean, by randomly, I mean like they were out cycling and we were sitting out on the patio of this restaurant. And there was like the patio is kind of surrounded by a gate. And we're like mid-sentence. And my friend looks over and she's like, is that like Christian and Matt? And they were like peeking through the fence, like super creepy at us. So they kind of surprised us and they came over. And it was fun. And we went to go get, because it was a beautiful day. It was absolutely gorgeous day out. So we just really wanted to be outside. I mean, I was drinking Arnold Palmer's all day, which I don't know if I'm the only one, but I have a really hard time saying Arnold Palmer. Like I have to say it slow. I can't, if I say it fast, I'm like Arnold Palmer. Like I can't say it fast. And I mean, you try it. You try saying Arnold Palmer 10 times fast and not mess up. Like, I don't think it's possible, but anyway, it was just a really great way to spend a Sunday because, you know, I was with some of my closest friends and it was just a beautiful day. And it almost felt like previous summers where we would all sit at an outdoor table and just like have rosé or like margaritas all day. And, you know, that's something I'd kind of been missing since I've been pregnant. Like I don't want to drink, but social stuff like Chicago summers is kind of like everything we do involves alcohol. And I kind of just missed those days where we would like sit and drink rosé all day on like a beautiful patio. And so it kind of felt like that. You know, it felt like that, except this time I was the only one not drinking, but that's okay. Cause there's always next year. There's always next summer. And then my actual birthday, Christian graduated with his executive MBA. And you know what? So that weekend was pretty much about this huge accomplishment because we had a weekend full of like family and friends. Like his, you know, grandmother came in from Colombia earlier in the week. My mom was in town. And like all of the students were given hotel rooms on Friday and Saturday night at the Drake Hotel. And if you have never heard of the Drake, you may have seen it in movies like Risky Business and My Best Friend's Wedding and what, excuse me, my voice is like not there today. What Women Want, Wicker Park, or Mission Impossible, and probably a lot of others. It's pretty much like an icon here on Michigan Avenue, and I've never stayed in it. I've actually only stayed in one hotel in Chicago ever, and it was for our wedding night when we stayed at the Pendry in the Carbon and Carbine building, which is one of my favorite buildings in Chicago. So Saturday was his actual graduation ceremony. So yeah, like on my birthday was his actual ceremony. And so, you know what? We honored him and his classmates at the graduation. And then we attended a reception and we capped the day off with this fabulous dinner with family that night. And then Sunday, after we checked out, we actually took Christian's mom and grandmother, as well as my mom, to high tea at the Drake, which was, you know, girly and flowery and fabulous and just like super fun. And you know what? You can say that my birthday present was maybe it was not getting woken up by my dog Ginza when the sun comes up. Although, I mean, at this point, I still have to wake up multiple times for the bathroom, so it doesn't even matter at this point. or maybe my birthday was like having breakfast in bed through room service, because I will say I love breakfast room service. Like at home, you wake up, you have to get up, you have to cook breakfast in the kitchen, and you have to clean up after yourself. Breakfast room service, you can just wear a robe, you just lounge in bed, and you have someone do all the work. It's really like the best way to wake up, in my opinion. And while I do not subscribe to parents or anyone really putting themselves last, in this specific case, I don't know. My birthday just seemed like the lowest priority with all we have going on right now. Like Christian's graduation is a huge accomplishment, one that he has worked so hard on and has been really a lifelong dream of his to get his MBA. And I've watched him study late at night and I've had a front row seat to his excitement and motivation and growth during the program. And I was already just so excited to celebrate this with him. Like I didn't want this weekend to be about me. I didn't want him to have to share in the excitement. I wanted him to have his moment and to support him in that moment. Like, he deserved this weekend to be about him. Wow. Like, that's love, isn't it? Like, especially from a Leo. Like, everyone says that Leos are supposed to always want to be like the center of attention. And most of the time, that's totally true. But in this case, like, I just kept thinking, like, this weekend isn't about me. Like, it's just not about me. Also, this year, my mind is just focused on exciting things to come. Like, our little girl is going to be joining us in less than 3 months. Like, what? Like, that's crazy. I've had to start shifting my brain away from the fact that I'm pregnant to, like, what happens after, because, like, that's coming up quick. We have so many things going on before that. Like, we have to do our wills. I know that sounds super fun, but really important when you have kids. So we have to do our wills. We have to set up the nursery. We have to take prenatal classes. We have to just get ready for her arrival, like, physically in our house and mentally. And August is just a really exciting time for us. And I can't wait to see the nursery done. Oh my gosh, I can't wait to see it. It's going to be adorable. It's just going to be so cute. Like, we're doing somewhat of a safari theme because we decided that her focus animal is an elephant. And really for a couple of reasons. You know, like, every kid seems to have, like, their, you know, animal that you kind of base the room off of. So ours is elephant, because elephants are smart and they travel in a herd, which, you know, they use to protect each other, and they are loving and gentle, but they're also strong and powerful. And Christian and I, we've not only seen them on safari, but we've actually been on them and bathed a baby elephant at a sanctuary in Thailand. So Christian, he really wanted to do this wall mural. So he found this just beautiful wall decal from a company up in Canada that reminds us of the mountains in Tanzania, which is where we went on safari. It was like our first trip together. We climbed Kilimanjaro and we went on safari. And behind the mountains, it has this like light blush pink sunset in the background. It's really just like calming and beautiful. And it's going to match the blush drapes and then complement the sage green nursery furniture. It's just going to be like very calm and chill and like what you want for a nursery. And it's probably also going to be like the best decorated room in our house at the end of the day. We've definitely put way more thought into the decorations of this room than any of the others. And you know what? Like, my mind and my heart are so full right now with celebrating Christian and our baby girl that for the first time in my life, my birthday just isn't top of mind. I guess you can say I have bigger things going on in my life right now than turning 40. I mean, my birthday is every year. And yeah, it's like the big 4-0. But you know what? Like, Christian achieving a lifelong dream and us getting ready for our only child being born just seem much more reasons to celebrate than me turning another year older this year. And side note, you better believe there is no way I am celebrating turning 40 without a glass or bottle of wine in my hands. Like, that's just sacrilegious. Like, I can't do that. So we've talked about it. And instead of celebrating this year for my 41st birthday, we're going to go on our first trip together away from our baby to Napa. And considering how much we both love wine and how many wineries we've been to around the world, it is shocking to me that Christian and I have never been to Napa together. I've actually only been to Napa once, and it was on a work trip, and whoever planned it, we literally drove from San Francisco through traffic to go to one winery for a tasting. And then we turned around and we drove back. Like, first of all, obviously I didn't plan that trip, okay? Because who does that? Who spends more time in traffic than at the winery? Just for like one. I mean, it just does, that's just bad planning. I'm sorry. That's bad planning. I'll call it now. I no longer work for that company or that client, so I can say it. Bad planning. So I don't even feel like it counts. And Christian and I have been talking about taking a trip out there for like pretty much our whole relationship. So it's the perfect opportunity to finally do so because the baby's going to be a little over 9 months by then. So it's a great time to leave her with grandma for like a long weekend away. It's also going to be just honestly great to spend some probably much needed quality time together after getting through the newborn stage. We'll just be able to have time, just the two of us, right? And just celebrate all that we've done in the last year as a team. And that sounds like a fabulous birthday. So I have always considered myself as someone who is self-reflective. I tend to look inwards a lot. And I set personal goals on a regular basis. I pay attention to how I'm feeling and what triggers me. I analyze my reactions to things and I take accountability for my part in different situations. And it's because I'm not someone that finds it, or it's because of this, that I am not someone that finds it difficult to like apologize. I do also have the tendency to overanalyze and to be harder on myself than necessary, but I'm trying to get better at that. But I'd rather be this way than the type of person who doesn't self-reflect at all, because we all know that person, right? Like that person who never apologizes because the issue is always about others and what they did or said. Like it's never about them, right? That person that doesn't even see how their actions or words impact those around them. And they honestly don't even seem to care. That person who gets super defensive if you just like put a mirror in front of them. Like if you kind of like bring up or confront them on anything that's like their fault, oh Lord, like they cannot handle it, right? Like we've all had at least one of them in our lives. Like I know I do. And while being self-reflective may make me more vulnerable and sometimes more emotional, I think it also makes me stronger. It makes me a good friend and a good partner, and it will make me a better mother. Like every year, I kind of just take my birthday as a time to do a little self-reflection. And with another year of life comes another year of learning and growth and a year to reset my mindset as I look into the next year. So considering this year of my life has been such a pivotal time, it seems more important than ever to continue this ritual. Like I'm not only redefining my identity as I add the mother title, but I'm also reconsidering my career path. Whether it's your birthday or not, having a yearly moment of reflection is truly beneficial. And I really invite you to join me in mine and maybe get inspired to do one of your own. So first, I usually start with what I've learned in the past year. I mean, a lot has happened in the last year. I got married. I quit my job. I published a book. I started a new job. I got pregnant and then was laid off. I'll tell you what, if I can't learn something from all of that, then what the hell am I even doing with my life? Seriously, there's got to be some lessons in there. This is what I consider the bright side of things. But throughout this roller coaster of a year, I am thankful to say that I have learned a lot. Because I tend to think in logical sequence, I organize like my top three lessons by career, relationships, and self. Because, well, I don't want to keep you here all day. And I could probably like list so much that I learned. So in my career, the top three things I've learned is, first of all, it's up to me to set and hold boundaries, right? Like I can't expect a company or my boss or anyone to do that. And I need to be willing to walk away if those boundaries are not being respected. Like that's something that I think is going to be even more important as I move into motherhood, right? Like I'm going to have to really set my boundaries and hold them tight and hold people accountable if I'm going to make it work. I also need to recognize and respect when I need a break, and I need to accept the support from those around me because the willingness to accept help is actually a strength. It's not a weakness. And this has definitely become more apparent since I, when I quit my job and when I was laid off from the other job. you know, Christian was really there to support me and to help me emotionally and now, you know, in some ways financially. And that was really hard for me to accept that support. But you know what? Like that's, it's important to do so. And it's important to take that time because I will say like right now, I've been out of work now for a couple months and I've really never felt better. I've never felt like I've had more of a clear head. I truly believe that when I go back to work, because I took this time, I'm just going to be that much better and that much more effective. Then the third one is listening. I need to listen to my gut and not ignore the red flags. And sometimes loving who you work with is not enough to stay in a role that is the wrong fit. We've all had those roles. Like we love the people we work with. And I was very fortunate, like my last two roles, I really had some great connections. And in fact, you know, I one of them, you know, I see all the time and I keep in touch with quite a few. And you know, you love working with these people. And sometimes I think that that keeps us in roles that we know are not right for us or that we're not happy in, but we just like, don't want to go work with new people. We want to work with them. And that just can't be, I think I've just learned that that doesn't work. You know, you need to focus on like, is the role right for me? And if you've built the relationships, those relationships aren't going anywhere. Now, in my relationships, I've learned that, you know what? True partnership isn't always a 50-50 split. Sometimes one partner takes on more in service of the other until they get back on their feet. That was a huge lesson for me and very recent because I always considered 50-50 to be like 50-50 at all times every day. But it's really the willingness of both parties to support the other is what makes up the 50-50 split, not like the internal scorecard we keep on a daily basis. And I feel like this is going to be really important for me to keep in mind as we move into the new baby, new parent, newborn stage. Like 50-50 is really like the willingness, not the to-do list as much, right? I mean, it's a little bit of both, but you know what I mean? It's really like, how are you supporting each other and how are you willing to support each other versus like, let's do tit for tat. Like, what did you do versus what I did? Right. I believe that blood is not what makes a family. And I know that's probably like a controversial statement. But I don't believe that that's enough. I believe that love is what makes you family. And because of that, it's actually okay to walk away from any relationship, blood or not, that does not prioritize love towards one another. That was a big lesson over the last year through like planning the wedding and through just like a lot of stuff, right? It's blood or not. If there are toxic people in your lives or people that don't bring positivity or people that don't treat you well, then they don't deserve the energy to be in your life. And you know what? I think I like have finally, like I've kind of known that, but I really grew up with the idea that like blood is thicker than water, you know, like I think that that's just the how we grew up as elder millennials. And in some ways, you know, I see where they're coming from, but in other ways, I would never walk away from like my parents or my brother. Like that they're, we can get in fights. Like we definitely disagree a lot and we could get in fights for like the rest of my life. And I'm never going to just never speak to them again. Like that's never going to happen. They're always going to be in my life in some capacity. But, you know, outside of that, it's up for grabs because at the end of the day, I also do have family that in the last year I've pretty much, for the most part, cut ties with. And honestly, I think it was the right decision. Like they weren't bringing, especially I have like one in particular. They don't live in the state, so it's not like I really see them on a regular basis, but it was just a really toxic relationship and toxic environment. And I finally was like, you know what? I don't need this. And you know what? I haven't regretted it since. And it was a lot harder almost to like make that decision than it was to act on it and like live with it after. So yeah, I think that, you know what? Family is what you make of it. And it's who brings you love and support in your life. And outside of that, you know, it's okay. It's okay to prioritize yourself and walk away. The last one is that relationships, you know what? They're going to continue to evolve and change along with us. And what's important is that we give each other grace through this process as we try to figure out what that new relationship and our new roles together looks like, you know, and that could be family. That could be, you know, like when I think about family, like as I turn into a mother, my relationship will probably change, right? With my brother who has three kids, we'll probably connect on a different level. With my parents, who obviously were my parents and now I'm a parent, but we're probably going to be really different parents. Again, more so just because of like generational differences. And so our relationships will change and evolve. And you know what? It's going to take some patience, but we'll figure it out. Lastly, in myself, which is usually my favorite one, and I could go on and on this one, but in myself, I've learned, first of all, that I have to put myself first, physically and mentally. And you know what? This can't change. I cannot allow this to change when I become a mother. Like, I know in society, we are taught that moms need to put their kids first and that you need to put yourselves last. I feel like that a lot of moms wear that with a badge of pride. I know that's definitely like how our parents were raised, that if you're a mom and you put yourself first, like you're selfish and you're a bad mom. And you know what? Shame on anyone that made them feel that way. And shame on anybody that makes a mom feel that way. I 100% very strongly disagree with that sentiment, because it is that pressure and that sentiment put on mothers, and not equally put on fathers, by the way, but it is that sentiment put on mothers that forces mom to totally let herself go. And I'm not talking about let herself go, like doesn't lose all the baby weight and all that BS pressure we also put on women to like, let's go have a baby and have your body go through a train wreck and gain a bunch of weight because it's actually like healthy and needs to grow a human being from scratch. But then let's also expect you to have a six pack within a couple months. Like, just get out of here with all that BS. Okay. I'm not talking about letting herself go physically. I'm talking about not taking care of herself mentally, maybe spiritually, or like whatever she needs, and instead just prioritizing the baby. And you see that all the time in so many different ways. You see that in just how much like articles and social media you see on bouncing back and like how to bounce back and how quickly to bounce back. Like if I see one more thing about bouncing back, like I think I might lose it. But you also see it in like how quickly we expect women to just get back to their daily routine, or how quickly we expect them to go back to work, or even just like how quickly I saw this video. Oh my God, it like really made me cry. Although to be honest, like it doesn't take much these days to make me cry, but I saw this video where this woman was like still in the hospital. She had just given birth, and she basically was like, what shocked me the most was the level of care that I received before I had the baby versus after I had the baby. Because the second I had the baby, like I didn't matter anymore. Thankfully, I've heard that the hospital I'm having birth at, that's not the case. But that is how it is. Like if I've started kind of paying attention to, okay, what happens after the baby comes, and really started diving into that part now, as I'm going into the third trimester, it's kind of sad. Like how it's not kind of sad. It's actually very sad. And it's very disappointing that our culture in America, I'm not going to speak outside of America. Our culture in America is like, once you have the kid, like now it's just about how is the kid doing? How is the kid? Like not about you at all. Like, thank you for your service. We're now going to focus over here. Like, we don't care about you anymore. So if we can't expect others to care about our well-being or to prioritize our well-being, it is even more important as we become mothers to prioritize ourselves, because who else is going to do it? And you know what? This is the only way that I think is really going to enable me to show up for those that I love as my best self. Like, I want to be the best mother I can be. I want to be the best partner I can be and show Christian grace and not like turn our marriage into like a dumpster fire because I'm just freaking miserable, right? Like, I want to show up for those that I love. And if I'm not taking care of myself and prioritizing what I need to do so, then that's impossible. That's impossible. So I have to live in that, and I have to really make that a reality. I also need a certain level of external connection on a regular basis. I've learned that probably the hard way at the end of my second trimester, where, you know, I'm not working and I'm not seeing friends as often. Christian was really busy with school and, you know, I was going through this pregnancy. And so I just was feeling really lonely and isolated. And it really made me think about how important external connection really is to me, actually. Like, it's actually not something that I do well with if I don't have on a regular basis. And you know what? This can come in a lot of forms, right? It could come in like I started going to an in-person prenatal yoga class once a week, not because it's like a hard workout, because it definitely isn't, but you know, it's like more just a community. I started being more proactive and like asking my friends to go for lunch if they have time during the workday and like stuff like that. Like, I just, Christian has actually done a really good job of the last, you know, couple weeks, really prioritizing spending time with me, because he knows that he's been really busy at school. And now obviously that he's graduated, he has more time. So he's really prioritized that as well. And all of those things are really helpful, but it's important that I continue to do that, especially after the baby comes. Obviously at first, like, I don't need to see all those people, but you know, it is important not to isolate myself when I become a new mother, because I've already learned that that is something that mentally really has a negative impact on me. And you know what? It's important to make time and actually put in that effort to connect with others, not because I should or I have to or I haven't seen them in a while or because I don't want them to think, no, like none of that. Like, literally, because that's what I need for my own mental health. And lastly, and kind of surprising, and I don't know if this is something I discovered about myself that's always been there or if it's actually something new for me. Not that it matters, but apparently touch is actually more important to me than I realized. And like, I've always considered myself this not like touchy-feely person. Like one of my friends that I have known since I was like 4 years old, she always makes fun of me. Because like, I never liked, you know, when young girls would have other people like do their hair, like do their makeup. Like, I never liked any of that. Like, I wasn't like a hugger. I wasn't like, I would never like cuddle with like my mom growing up, like on the couch. Like, we'd sit with each other on the couch, but like, I just never was like a big toucher. But since I've been pregnant, I've noticed that I do need more physical connection with Christian. And I'm Not really with everybody. I will say I'm like a selective touch person. And I'm not talking like sexual. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about like the little things, like a touch on the arm or actually like cuddling on the couch, like just more touch in general, like a longer hello or goodbye kiss than a peck, like things like that. I don't know. Since I've become pregnant, this is just something that I feel like more of a need for. And it matters to me more than I thought that it did. So that's just something I can continue to learn and explore as I move forward. All right. So those are my kind of big things between what I learned in my career and my relationships and myself over the last year. Now it's your turn. Like, what have you learned in the past year? I believe we are all a constant work in progress. I said that a lot on this podcast, right? That we're always progressing. And each birthday is really a time when we can self-reflect, but also a time to start fresh. And it's a time to think about how do we want to move forward into the next year of our lives. As I look ahead, the next year, I'm going to be starting a new role in my career and becoming a mother. So like, no big deal, just changing my whole life. Like, what could go wrong? But throughout this process, the biggest lesson that I want to apply is to trust myself and focus my energy on people and circumstances that serve me. A lot is happening in the next year, but I also have the faith that my life leading up until now has prepared me for what's to come. My life has prepared me to find the confidence and strength to start a new career path, to get uncomfortable and not rest on what I know to date, to be prepared to go for the role that not only excites me, but provides me with the flexibility and balance that I require so I can be a mother, partner, and a loved one how I want to be. My life has prepared me to be the mother that I want to be, the mother that doesn't compare herself to others, the mother that's present and appreciates even the hardest moments of that first year. The mother that gives her partner and herself grace as we figure it out together. And the mother that's patient and kind and emotionally present for her daughter. It has been a fascinating 40 years of success and mistakes, of laughter and tears, of love and heartbreak. And you know what? Everything in between. But I believe that the next 40 years can be even better because now I have something I didn't have in the last half of my life. Now I have the confidence in myself from the lessons I've learned along the way. Thank you so much for joining me today. Please rate and review this podcast on Apple Podcasts. Join me on my social channels and get more content and inspiration. You can follow my Almost Midlife Crisis on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And you can check out my new YouTube channel with videos and episodes and shorts to keep you entertained. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and make sure you are always up to date on the latest episodes. Sign up to get written transcripts delivered right to your inbox at myalmostmidlifecrisis.com. Until next time.